Hi folks, True Badger here in the Big Scary Newsroom with an important message. Over the next few shows, we'll be rolling out some new formats and changing the way we do the news. We'll still be bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and information you've come to expect, but we're wanting to rebrand ourselves a bit and, frankly, gain a few more listeners. So expect a few changes over the next few weeks as we continue to scour the globe to bring you all the latest news in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. Remember, if you have news, email it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll put it on the air. Again, thank you to Froggy's Fog, for whom we are proud to call our title sponsor. And now, without further ado, here is the latest Big Scary News.
We say we see what's shaking in the outer limits. Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
The Big Scary Show and Big Scary News would like to take a moment to just offer up our deepest condolences to the friends and family of the tragedy in Orlando this week, and we offer up this moment of silence. We have this update from the Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California. Midsummer Scream, Southern California's premier Halloween haunt and horror festival, held July 30th and 31st at the Long Beach Convention Center, has unleashed a steady stream of announcements, from world-class theme park presentations to professional makeup demonstrations and a massive show floor filled with artisans and vendors of the macabre. The most famous haunted house in California has now been added to the festival's lineup, a storied mansion so legendary that its name is revered by fans and ghost hunters around the world. Winchester. The Winchester Mystery House will be hosting an unprecedented 60-minute presentation and panel discussion on Sunday, July 31st, featuring rare photographs, never-before-seen footage, and ghost stories from the sprawling 160-room Victorian mansion in the San Francisco Bay Area. Winchester, California's original haunted house, will feature Walter Magnuson, general manager of the Winchester Mystery House, Tim O'Day, director of communications for Winchester, and Peter Overstreet, the event producer of Winchester. During the spirited presentation, Winchester Mystery House representatives will discuss the history of the property, its reputation for being a paranormal activity hotspot, an upcoming adventure of ghost adventures, their recent James Van Prague seance, brand new Halloween candlelight tours, plans for winter events, and feature film Winchester by Michael and Peter Spierig, starring Oscar-winning actress Helen Mirren. Quote, "We're so excited to be bringing the incredible story and legend of the Winchester Mystery House to Midsummer Scream attendees," said Walter Magnuson. Our estate is considered one of America's foremost and most legendary haunted homes, so it's fitting that we're a part of this inaugural event, and we're eager to share never-before-seen imagery and never-before-heard paranormal tales. Winchester Mystery House's presence will be felt throughout the Midsummer Scream weekend as well, as their booth in the Museum of Paranormal History, a curated section of the show featuring all things paranormal. Midsummer Scream is already the ultimate convention for fans of haunted attractions. The addition of the Winchester Mystery House as a partner only broadens our appeal to the supernatural and ghost hunting community, drawing in those enthusiasts as well, says David Markland, executive director of Midsummer Scream. Tickets are on sale now, with new information regarding Midsummer Scream being updated frequently at www.midsummerscream.org. We have this update from Days of the Dead in Indianapolis. Days of the Dead is very excited to announce the availability of a very special photo op featuring John Franklin and Courtney Gaines of Children of the Corn. Photo ops can include up to two people and come with a printed 8x10 copy as well as free digital download. Children of the Corn photo ops will be at select times on Friday and Saturday only. Photo ops and tickets to Days of the Dead Indianapolis happening June 24th through the 26th at the Wyndham Indianapolis West are on sale now at daysofthedead.net/Indianapolis. We have some news on a Walking Dead zombie-themed cruise. This year's zombie-themed Walking Dead fan and fanatic cruise was such a hit that they are setting sail once again in 2017. Sixth Man's Walker Stalker Cruise is starting pre-sales early this year as the demand was so high, so you don't want to miss out. We've had so many of our followers share pics on our social media pages, and it looks like an awesome time. vacation with some of your favorite actors, as well as a few makeup gurus who make those creepy on-screen walkers the stuff of nightmares. Relax and enjoy this convention in an intimate setting filled with fun in the sun. Join us February 3rd through the 6th, 2017, as we sail from Miami on Norwegian Pearl. You can register at walkerstalkercruise.com/presale. We have this update from Maskfest in Indianapolis. We're overjoyed to announce the return of Ed and Marshall Edmonds of Distortions Unlimited to our show in September. Ed founded the company in 1978 while still in high school. He continued honing his skills through college, eventually meeting and marrying the lovely Marsha. Together, they have expanded the company they co-own in Colorado into a huge force to be reckoned with, skillfully building large-scale animatronics, haunt props, and more for the Halloween haunt, mask, and entertainment industry with help from a wonderful group of artists, carpenters, woodworkers, seamstresses, and many more. They've got a very talented group of sculptors contributing, such as Jordu Shell and Mikey Rotella. Distortion's work has been seen all across the board, most notably including Alice Cooper's Brutal Planet Tour, Corpses, Skeletons, and Guillotine Fun. His electric chair animatronic can be seen at haunted houses across the country, and this company is a mainstay at trade shows. Many of you are probably familiar with their entertaining Making Monsters television show, which aired on the Travel Channel around Halloween for a few seasons, which followed the creative forces behind the company as they worked on the problems and joys one encounters when making monsters for public consumption. Come chat monsters and masks with Ed and Martha at Maskfest 2016, September 9th through the 11th. Cheers to living the dream and making monsters for a living. Visit them at maskfest.com for more info, and be sure you're following them on Instagram at Maskfest, on Twitter at Maskfest1, and on Facebook. Have a little hiring news from the Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. The Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride is now hiring for the 2016 haunt season. Please check their website for employment opportunities, requirements, and instructions, and make sure to share this with your friends on social media. Get more info at thebatesmotel.com. We have this from the Hawthorne Hotel Halloween Party in Salem, Massachusetts. If you've not been to a Halloween party at the Hawthorne, you have not really experienced Halloween. A tradition for over 20 years, this party sells out every year and is the place to be in Salem. The Hawthorne Hotel's annual Halloween party is the biggest and best Salem has to offer. Enjoy 3 floors of food, fine costumes, live music, DJs, dancing, psychics, and of course the big Hawthorne Halloween costume contest. This year's theme is 7 Deadly Sins, so start planning your costumes early. Winners of categories such as Best Individual, Best Group, Best Themed Costume are awarded with cash prizes and, most importantly, claim to a 12-month bragging right. Get more information at hawthornhotel.com/Halloween. We have this news from the Misery Haunted Attraction in Berlin, Wisconsin. Misery Haunted House in Berlin is presenting Escape Your Nightmare this 2016 Halloween season. Last year, the Wisconsin Haunt invited thrill-seekers to enter their nightmares, and this year they are forcing you to escape them. Who knows what new horrors await you in the depths of your nightmares? That is, if you dare enter in the first place. Find out what terrors await you in October 2016. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/miseryhauntedhouse. We have this news from the Connecticut Horror Fest in Danbury, Connecticut. Attention horror fans, Connecticut Horror Fest returns on August 27th, 2016. The event is presented by Connecticut-based horror website Horror News Network, one of the top horror news and information sites on the web. Come meet horror celebrities and shop horror-themed vendors at the Matrix Conference Center in Danbury, Connecticut. Only a few VIP packages are still remaining, including the opportunity to have breakfast with George Romero. For information on what it includes, as well as a guest list and all other information, visit cthorror.com. We have a little news on a new TV show from Guillermo del Toro via themarysue.com. According to Deadline, Amazon has picked up Carnival Row, a show from Guillermo del Toro and a host of other awesome creators to pilot. Carnival Row is based on A Killing on Carnival Row, a feature spec script Travis Beecham, the dude who wrote Pacific Rim and that prematurely canceled Fox show Hieroglyph, who penned it 11 years ago. Beecham originally sold the script to New Line and Cobblestown Entertainment, where Guillermo del Toro first became interested in the project. In early 2015, Amazon Studios scored a development deal for a TV version of the feature. The pilot script was written by Star Trek alum Rene Echeverria, who will also serve as Carnival Row's showrunner. Del Toro, Beachman, and Echeverria will executive produce. We'll keep up to this story and give you updates as they become available. We have some more TV news regarding From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, via BloodyDisgusting.com. Miramax and El Rey Network have announced new cast additions to Albuquerque-based production of From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, set to return for a third season later this year. Ana de la Reguera, Jane the Virgin, from Jane the Virgin and Narcos, will have a recurring role as Lord Venganza Verdugo, one of seven remaining Culebra lords whose ancient roots and personal history put them at the center of an epic clash between good and evil. Returning to the supernatural action horror saga is Emily Rios from The Bridge and Breaking Bad, who will reprise her season 2 role as Jimena, the no-nonsense lieutenant of Lord Venganza. Also joining the cast is Chilean martial arts action star Marco Zaror from Machete Kills, as Zolo, an Aztec warrior trained in hell, and iconic horror movie maven Tom Savini from everything. Savini, who starred as Sex Machine in the original film, lights up the brand new role of Bert, a retired demon hunter who smokes more medical marijuana than he sells. Tom Savini is no stranger to the horror genre, having possessed vital roles in classics like Friday the 13th, Dawn of the Dead, Creepshow, and Day of the Dead. Savini is a true master of the field. Recent years have brought him acting acclaim with roles in films like From Dusk Till Dawn, Machete, Django Unchained, and Grindhouse. Comprised of 10-hour-long episodes, Season 3 of From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, will feature a returning ensemble cast that includes DJ Catrona, Zane Holtz, Aza Gonzalez, Jesse Garcia, Madison Davenport, Brandon Suhu, and Jake Busey. Filmmaker and El Rey Network founder Robert Rodriguez will return to direct select episodes this season, which is currently shooting in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Season 3 continues the Gecko Brothers saga as they fight their way through the world of Culebras, the vampire-snake hybrids that control hidden empires in Texas and Mexico. Once the baddest outlaws in the land, Seth and Richie made a run for the border 2 years ago to save their lives and their fortune. They ran headlong into a bar full of bloodsuckers and bandits. Facing off with the vampire goddess Satanico, the Geckos joined her cause and settled an old score. It won them a place in the Culebra world. Now that world is about to explode and new enemies are gathering. Dark forces, hell-bent on destruction and domination, and it's up to the Geckos to stop them. But they can't do it alone. We have this news from the Massachusetts Ghostbusters. In just a couple of weeks, we'll be coming to Massive Comic Con. We are planning to bring some very cool and exclusive things to this event. Be sure to like, follow, and share this because we want to meet you. You'll get a chance to enter some awesome raffles with some once-in-a-lifetime prizes. We want to know if you're coming, so buy your tickets at massivecomiccon.com/buy-tickets. Get more info about the Massachusetts Ghostbusters at their Facebook page, facebook.com/MAGhostbusters, and the Massive Comic Con at massivecomiccon.com. We have this interesting story on a potential lost Godzilla film coming to light. One of the oddest footnotes of Godzilla fandom is the strange saga of Godzilla vs. Legendary Wolfman, a 1983 feature-length fan film produced by former Toho filmmakers that Toho has kept buried for over 20 years. Until this summer, maybe, when the legendary fan film might finally see the light of day, or should I say light of full moon. The short version of this long-sorted saga is that former Toho production assistant Shizuo Nakajima, along with several other ex-Toho employees, decided to make their own Gojira film, pitting the King of the Monsters against a giant werewolf. This wasn't just some rinky-dink 8mm short film either. This was a full-length motion picture with real actors, an actual script, cinematic production values, and creature suits designed by Fuyuki Shinada. 20 years later, he would go on to design the monsters from Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack. Nakajima drew inspiration from Curse of the Werewolf and his love of classic kaiju films to craft a feature about a Japanese man transformed into a werewolf. In true Atomic Age fashion, he also becomes irradiated, causing him to become a gargantuan wolfman. The enlarged lichen encounters Godzilla, who's on his own countryside-crushing spree, and a mighty monster's throwdown occurs. Only one little problem. Nakajima didn't have Toho's permission to use Godzilla. And given how notorious litigious Toho is about Godzilla's likeness, they put a silver bullet in any plans for the world to ever see Godzilla versus legendary Wolfman. All that had ever seen the light of day were a handful of production stills that had trickled out over the years, confirming it to be more than just rumor. The project remained unreleased and regarded by Godzilla fandom as a lost film until a few years ago, when renewed interest began thanks to dedicated G-fan Mark Jaramillo tracking down Nakajima, himself shocked to learn anyone even knew of the film's existence outside of Japan. This led to articles chronicling the strange history of this epic fan film for websites like Sci-Fi Japan, Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine, and even panels at the annual Godzilla convention, G-Fest. Nakajima even attended G-Fest 20 in 2013, presenting footage from his lost labor of love to a wildly enthusiastic crowd. Since then, Nakajima has vowed to restore the film and finally get it released. Clips have appeared on YouTube, and all manner of production stills have been posted on his own Facebook page. Nakajima now seems to be indicating on his Facebook page that the film will be finished by this summer, presumably for a DVD or Blu-ray release, right around the time Godzilla Resurgence opens in theaters in Japan this July. The news is not official, nor is it even confirmed if Toho has signed off on it, allowing it to happen. This could all just be wishful thinking on his part, or hoping that fan goodwill will help pressure Toho into making it a reality, a la the recent dust-up between Paramount and Star Trek fans that raised $1 million on Kickstart for their own high-end fan film. Godzilla fans might be getting two new Zilla flicks this summer, and if they're not, we can at least enjoy these clips from Godzilla vs. Legendary Wolfman and left to wonder what might have been. You can see the clips on DreadCentral.com. And finally, we have some news regarding the Amityville home in Long Island, New York. If you want to own a piece of paranormal history and you're not afraid to live in a house linked to a horrible murder, then there's a home on the market that could be yours. The home that inspired the Amityville horror book and movies is for sale in Long Island, New York. Good Morning America reports, it features 5 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, a boathouse, boat slip, and 2-car garage, and is listed at $850,000. The home was last sold in 2010. In 1974, it was the scene of a gruesome murder. Ronald DeFeo killed his family, both parents, his brothers and sisters, as they slept in the early morning of November 13, according to biography.com. He shot them in their beds, all within 15 minutes before showering and getting dressed for work. On his way, he dumped his bloody clothing and the gun in a storm drain. When he got to his family's car dealership, he called home pretending to find out why his father didn't show up for work. At noon, he left his job and spent the day with friends. Finally, at 6 p.m., he called a friend saying that someone broke into the family home, killing everyone. DeFeo eventually confessed to the murders, telling police, "Once I started, I just couldn't stop. It went so fast." He was put on trial in October 1975 and found guilty on 6 counts of second-degree murder on November 21, 1974, and sentenced to 6 consecutive life sentences. He remains in jail. The first family who lived in the home after the murders, the Lutz family, said they encountered poltergeists in the home. They lived there only 28 days. In 1975, the Daily Mail reports, his mother saw glowing red eyes. His stepfather was awakened by strange noises at the time the murders happened, and the family's daughter had a strange imaginary friend. There were claims of strange smells, drafts, and objects moving on their own. A priest who visited the house said he heard someone telling him to get out. If a murder scene or the possibility of paranormal happenings don't faze you, this home could be yours. But there's a catch. You must have proof of funds to even get an appointment to see the house. To see the listing, visit Zillow.com. Anyone got a spare 850 grand? Who knows? And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Tonight's interview is with legendary singer and horror music fan Phil Anselmo and was recorded at Days of the Dead in Atlanta, Georgia in February 2016. Hello, buddy. Drew Badger here. We are live in Atlanta, GA. Days of the Dead, checking out all the cool kids, hanging out with everybody. And you know, the cool thing about Days of the Dead, not only do they have a lot of horror folks, they have a lot of pro wrestlers, and they always seem to bring in some kick-ass musicians, you know. If you've been a fan of, Pantera and maybe Super Joint Rituals, some other bands like that, you're going to know the name Phil Anselmo, who happens to be one of the cool guest stars I saw from way back. And when I saw it on the list of he was coming, had to get a chance to speak to him, had to pull a few corners, do a few favors, but here he is. How you doing today?
I'm doing well there, big brother. How you doing, Badger?
We're hanging in there, man. We just saw a great panel discussion with you, and I wanted to ask you about this. You grew up in New Orleans, arguably one of the most haunted cities in the country. How did that affect you as far as, you know, your love of horror movies and things is legendary in the industry? How big a fact of it was, I mean, if you had grown up in, say, Tulsa, Oklahoma, would you still be as big a horror fan as if you did in New Orleans?
That's an interesting question, and I can answer this way. Being in Howard Philip Lovecraft, an H.P. Lovecraft fan, there is always the mention of antiquated things. New Orleans is a very old, old city. And I think that with its fantastic above ground tombs and the cemeteries there and the celebration of everything from Mardi Gras on, Halloween was always a gigantic, once again, a celebration.
It was an event.
Always. And, I had mentioned this on the panel. I grew up in a time in the late 60s, early 70s, where television was incredibly kind to horror and the genre, because Friday through Sunday, there were nothing but creature features, the Sunday morning movie.
Kolchak the Night Stalker, lots of good shows.
Oh, that's the Night Gallery. One of my favorite, Rod Serling's one of my favorite of all time. And so all of that affected me. And the antiquate city of New Orleans itself, I grew up, my very first memories are of growing up in the French Quarter in a tiny little apartment with my mother. So, you know, you'd wake up and she'd walk me to school on her way to work, and you'd see all these wild, crazy characters walking all over the streets, and you know, everybody's kind of has their own shtick. and there was something, you know, ominous about a lot of them. And also, I lived with my aunt, who did local theater there. So all of her friends were just these outrageous characters, man. And I would go, like, after school. She would pick me up, take me to rehearsals, and I would sit there and watch them do their thing. And it was always just captivating for me just to watch them do their thing. And I guess getting around to horror, it's like, you know, they did several, I guess, locally written productions, and you know, some of them were thrillers and you know, mysteries and stuff like that, mystery type settings and stuff like that. So it always intrigued me, man.
And of course, growing up in that area, that was, I guess, considered the norm for you. I mean, you know, you walked around, you saw people dressed crazily. I didn't know this was any different. I thought everybody grew up like
this. Yeah, I didn't. That's all I knew. I was a child, and my brain was a sponge, and I was just taking it all in, and I knew no better, and that's the best I knew.
I hear indirectly you're responsible, or maybe directly, for one of the most infamous haunted houses ever in
Absolutely.
New Orleans. Being, you know, the House of Shock is legendary. They went away, they're back, they went away, they're back. We don't know what the status is this year. Who knows, but you kind of had a part in starting that whole thing.
Absolutely. I totally started that thing with three friends of mine, and I guess I had the deepest pockets at the time, so... The first 6-7 years, I would be the investor. So at the time, you know, because we started in backyards and all that stuff, as we grew, little did I know that I would be taking business trips to go buy props from Florida and stuff, and mechanical alligators and pop-up what do they call with the air compressors?
The animatronics.
Animatronic stuff, yes. And you know, all of that is part of the job. And
oh, yeah.
I loved it. I loved it.
So do you still get a chance to go out in October and go hit a haunted house or two when you're on the road or visiting or wherever you are?
When I'm on the road, it's all business, because I have my rituals that I do every day, whether it's show day off, everything's about the tour. So I don't get a chance to see as much as I would love to see. But like, case in point, here in Atlanta, you know, all through the 90s, you know, we grew up playing the Masquerade, and I know that they had a haunted house at one point in time. So one of the cooler things about that was, you know, the guys giving me a tour every year and all the different rooms and what they do and stuff like that. And I love that, man. I love it. I love everything from neighborhood haunted houses to the supposed big production got things. There's a place in New Orleans now called the Mausoleum that is really an old funeral home, so everything is really, once again, and not to overuse the word, but everything is truly antiquate and old and creepy, and it's they do a great job over there as well. So
you need to take like a week off in October or a couple of weekends off and just go hit some of these things if you're in town.
Taking time off for me seems to be like one of the hardest things in the world, because I'll sit there for a minute and I'm like, I gotta be doing something. But if it were to be a country hopping thing, a jaunt to go see different haunted houses around the country, gosh, that would be fun.
Absolutely. Now, do you have the Horrorcore Film Festival, Music Festival coming up this year in Texas?
We're talking about it. We're trying to nail down a venue. And, you know, right now, I guess it's those kind of talks are in its infancy. So the best answer I could give you is we'll see. We want to do it. And That's the goal, is to get it done.
And of course, when we hear about it, we'll post it here on the Big Scary Show. When if anybody's interested in finding out tour schedules, as I said, you're on the road with a number of different bands and everything. People want to get more information. Oh, one last thing. Understand you just had a musical collaboration with Bill Moseley.
I did, but that was almost a year ago now, but still people are just finding out about it. The record's finished. I guess we're just picking a good time to put it out. It's called Bill and Phil, Songs of Despair, and he knows the title, Songs of Something in Despair.
We're going to have to go give Bill a call and figure out what this is all about.
It's it was such a blast to do it, and really, Bill Moseley can sing, man. What a range. I mean,
that's crazy.
He's like, he's you know who he sounds like is... He's very akin to Bobby Liebling from Pentagram. It's amazing, yes.
So for people wanting to get more information on maybe the upcoming Film Horror Festival that you've got going on, whatever band you're playing with at the time, tour schedules, and all things Phil Anselmo, websites, social medias, how can people get more information?
I don't do social media that much at all. I don't tweet. I don't post. I rarely do any of that stuff. Unless it's necessary. But I do have all the accounts, and when something comes out, my management, my manager, and
you
all
got
them.
Your people handling,
like, Yeah. Let me. I'm the music and horror guy. You know, I get to pick and choose the films, I get to pick the bands, and all that stuff like that, along with Ryan Taylor from. He books Maryland Death Fest, and he's always great. And but go to thehousecorerecords.com.
Thehousecorerecords.com. Find out everything. Phil Anselmo, an absolute pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show.
It's my pleasure.
My name is Drew Badger here at Days of the Dead, Atlanta, Georgia. We are out!
We'd like to thank Prelude to a Nightmare and the CD Dark Ride for providing the music for this episode. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Big Scary News. We wish to thank Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, www.froggiesfog.com. Remember to listen to the current Big Scary Show for even more news and information, including the Haunt Minute, Face Your Fears, great music from the Haunt Rocker, and the soon-to-be-famous Roundtable of Terror. Get all that and more only at BigScaryShow.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is Drew Badger signing off for the Big Scary News.